Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, where we celebrate the joy in just being you. I'm Natasha, your certified sex and intimacy coach and clinical sexologist. Just call me your guide to unlocking pleasure. With years of experience in helping individuals embrace pleasure beyond sex, I'm here to empower you to rediscover the beauty of pleasure in every aspect of life. So settle in, relax, and get ready to savor the wisdom and insights we're about to drop. This is your space to be present, learn, and enjoy the show. Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I am your host, Natasha. If you're an OG, thank you so much for coming back. And if you are new, I love you and appreciate you for coming on this journey with us. So today, we are finalizing the other Black girl conversation. I hope you've enjoyed everything so far. And I am wrapping it up with Mrs. C. Renee Washington. And this was such a good conversation because she brought an outlook from a different generation. A generation that kind of is based off of what we saw in the show and her outlook on what she calls drinking the Kool-Aid and how we just need to let some things go and live our best lives was very eye-opening for me, and I really appreciated this conversation. So to introduce Mrs. C. Renee Washington, she is a master certified coach, a professional speaker, a podcast host, and an author who's on a mission to put as many women as possible on their dream to reality paths to living their personalized brand of freedom and purpose through moving themselves to the top of their priority list. Stop suffering and start planning. Stop dreaming and start doing by radically rewiring their lives to manifest dreams, goals, purpose, passion, and enjoying more me time, family, and friendship time without feeling guilty. And without further ado, the final part of the Other Black Girl series. Enjoy. So, Mrs. C. Renee, thank you so much for joining me on this. It was a roller coaster of a series. And the trailer gives you absolutely nothing for the other Black girl. So you really just have to get into it. But how did you feel after you watched the entire series?
I felt seen in a lot of ways, actually. I did. I did not read the book.
I did not either.
Okay. And the reason I did, and I, you know, I'm in three book clubs. I mean, I love to read, but I didn't read the book because one of the online book clubs that I'm in, Black Girls Read 2, they slammed the book.
I did not hear great things about the book.
I didn't hear good things about the book. And so two things about that. One, you know, time is precious. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I mean, literally, I've got three stacks of books by my bed. So I was like, okay, I'm going to trust these people. It's not just a few people. It's a lot of people saying, you know, so a few people say, you know, most of the people were saying it was just too drawn out, mm-hmm. too long, you know, and yeah. And then people were mad about the ending. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how the book ended because I don't like to know, you know, I didn't let myself read how it ended. Mm-hmm. And so I was intrigued, though, that I think she got over $1 million signing rights for the. Yes, I was like, go ahead, sister.
Yes.
So that was the other thing for me, is that somebody saw something in the book, evidently, mm-hmm. that they felt was series worthy. So that was intriguing to me, mm-hmm. that there's this one narrative on the book, and yet she got this fantabulous TV deal.
Absolutely.
And so yeah, so that made me want to watch the series, and I'm so glad that I did.
I am too, and I can understand the book being drawn out because the first five episodes is a whole bunch of, I don't want to say nothing, but you're just like, what? Yeah.
It was just little things, little hints of something. And so it kept me intrigued though, mainly because I'm a life coach now, but I came to that after a 28-year corporate career. And so the work aspect of it, there were things that I connected to that I had experienced or seen happen before. And so that was in that, you know, that kept me, you know, interested. I'm not a sci-fi fantasy fan. And I found the series grounded enough though that you didn't lose me. It kept me wanting to, you know.
So how did you feel seen? Tell me where you felt seen the most. Was there a particular character that you felt seen the most? Where did you feel it?
Yeah, so the three main Black characters, well, there were four main Black characters. The female Black, the Nella, her best friend, and Hazel, what was her name? What was her name? She Eva.
She was everything, and she was Eva.
She had so many names.
I don't even remember Hazel. Her think, main name. I think
she,
but it was
yeah,
Hazel.
I think she came to the company as Hazel. And then Diana. Now, you know, my situation, my corporate experience was one, and I went and did a little reading after I finished the series to see what people were saying about the series. And this one Black woman did a commentary on it where she felt like it was good, but she did not like that the main nemesis was another Black woman, which I found interesting because she said, you know, that's, you know, my experience is that I was, you know, Black women support each other, you know, and I said, well, you know what? That is true because I have extremely supportive Black girlfriends. I am like sister. Black women need to support each other. Yeah. And not all of us do.
Correct.
Not all of us do. And so in the corporate experience that I had, there was a contingent of Black women, up and coming Black women, and we had each other's back. And there was one, though, in the mist who reminded me of Diana.
Yeah.
And she was in a position of power.
They always have the power.
Yes. And she did not use that power to our benefit all of the time. Now, you know, and it's a mixture thing. She helped me, but I saw her do some really dirty things to some other people. So I thought the series demonstrated that. Natasha, there's this thing. How old are you?
I will be 37 on Thursday.
Okay, good. Yeah, see, and I'm 64. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm 64 years old. When I was growing up, there was the narrative, you know, we were taught, don't disgrace the race.
Right.
We were taught to keep, you know, Black stuff in Black, in our, don't be letting white folks know your business, you know, keep our stuff in house. We've got to represent at all times. We've always got to, you know, be excellent and show excellence and all of that. We did not get to be our fully complex selves because we were always trying to prove to them that we were good enough to be included, hired, pulled in, you know, all of that stuff. So I, you know, don't disgrace the race was a thing.
Yeah.
Shame was a thing. Not so much now, which I think is a good thing as far as I think we need to really stop trying to prove anything to them.
Absolutely. Because it's not going to matter anyway.
Thank you. Thank you. And who showed us that the most but Michelle and Barack Obama? As close to perfection as you could get. Of any race. And yet that was not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. So when I read her commentary about, you know, they, why did they have to go there and show this Black woman? I was like, well, because I, you know, that is a reality.
Yeah.
That actually does happen. You know, there is the thing. All skin folk ain't kin folk. That's true. At all.
And, you know, I wonder when looking at Diana's story, it's a lot. First of all, her sleeping with Richard, that blew me.
I know, right?
But
I was glad we didn't really have to go deeply into that.
Right. But I mean, it would make sense. But you think of, you know, in the corporate world, when I was working, there was one Black woman who was in the midst of the CEO. She was up there. And I always just wondered, like, what did you have to go through to get up there? And what do you continue to have to, it's almost like selling your soul, right? Like, what do you have to deal with to stay in that space? So like for Diana, you are literally wiping these women's lives clear in order to stay where you are and to push your agenda. And it's just like, I get it, but I don't want to have to be the one to give up myself and what I value in order for this place. Maybe that's just not the place for me. And like we saw, Nella had to find a different way to meet her value that did not mean succumbing to what everyone else was doing. So what do you think about the things that Diana had to do? She had to like step over her best friend, longtime friend, to get this power.
Yeah. So I will answer that by changing one word. She didn't have to, she chose to.
Yes, she did.
She chose to. And so at what cost success? At what cost success? And so, yes, Diana made a choice that she saw her friend in a position of come up that she could, you know, hold on to her coattails and ride it too. As soon as, when they did the flashback, and I won't give a, you know, I don't want to give away, you know, all the plot points, but you know, when we got to see them as younger women and how Diana came to, her name went right out of my head. I can't believe,
Kendra.
Kendra, thank you. When she came to Kendra's workplace and saw that, here's an opportunity and jumped right on it.
She took it. She didn't think twice about it.
She did not. And so she got caught up. Now, what was interesting to me about the series is I still have questions. They really never let us know because they were just round the way girls from what we saw, but we never really got to see how the hair grease got created.
What is that about?
Yeah. And you know what I equated the hair grease to? Drinking the Kool-Aid. You drinking that white folks ice is colder Kool-Aid.
That is exactly what it is. But it's being able to see Hazel's story and how She would not have been able to get where she was without the hair grease.
Right. Like, without the grease.
It was life changing. And to see her try to go back to life, like once you have a taste of something, I can't go back to that. It's hard.
It's hard. But the grease was, the grease got you to another level. And the grease was painful at the same time. Which isn't that true? That when you sell yourself out to be in this world, that you know, at the end of the day, they actually really don't even really want you in.
Mm-hmm. Hey sis, if you are a high achieving, influential Black woman ready to lean into your peace and happiness so that you can live a satisfying life away from your to-do list, head over to closetfreakchronicles.com/pleasure and let's help you find the peace that you need in order to have the most satisfying life yet. Now back to the show.
And, you know, they're going to pick a few of us to be in it. Mm-hmm. And there's a cost to that. There's a cost to that. It was interesting to me that they also use grease, hair grease, because hair for Black women is political, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that is probably one of our highest levels of vulnerability is our hair. Mm-hmm. So that was very interesting to me that they use that as the pathway into this so-called successful life, mm-hmm. the so-called good life.
And it's bonding, you know, like being able to allow someone in your head. I said in the last episode, like, it's the nostalgia of sitting between somebody's legs and just laying your head on their knee and like your mom or your grandma or someone like just greasing your scalp and taking that and taking advantage of it, taking advantage of this nurturing that's going on in the relationship.
Absolutely. It's so symbolic. Did you watch, How to Get Away with Murder?
Yes, yes.
So do you remember the scene with, with Cicely Tyson as her mom? And, oh yeah, you know, it's very powerful for us. And it's, you know, it's a soul connecting thing. And, you know, that is, you know, I could see why when you're trying to pull in a Black woman to a place of trust, that's a pathway. We bond mm-hmm. over our hair, you know? And so for them to be able to use that as a way to suck those women in. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very, very interesting how they used that.
So what did you feel about the interaction between Nella and Kendra? First of all, I was not expecting Kendra to come in and save the day at all. I was like, who's this woman? I know.
That was a shock. Yeah, that was a shock. You know, I didn't think Kendra was dead. I didn't. When they were trying to say something, I just said, I don't believe she's dead. Mm-hmm. But that was interesting. And I'm, you know, I thought it was fantastic. Because even Diana was like, where did you come from? Oh, and you looking good.
right. And then, you know, the scene in the outside of the car where she's giving that spiel about constantly being on the run and like, don't you want freedom? But is running actually
That's freedom? Not freedom. Mm-hmm. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, but is that freedom? You know, you had to ditch your entire life and you're living out of truck stop.
Yeah.
That's not freedom either, which for Black people, but particularly Black women, because we still are the carriers mm-hmm. of, you know, the load, the weight. Mm-hmm. And yes, Black men have their weight to carry and we carry the weight that they carry.
Yes.
And so, it's been a big point of interest for me is how I don't care what the topic is. Most of the time, Black women are experiencing it at a higher level. So if you look mm-hmm. at the rates of illness and disease, of workplace discrimination and all of this, you know, that we carry the low differently and typically at a higher level of negativity.
Yes.
And yet we still rise to the top, whether we're acknowledged or not. Mm-hmm. We still are pursuing excellence. We still are sacrificing in a way that in some ways I really would like to see us stop. That I really would like to see us, you know, like, so Nella she wants to stay and fight.
Yes.
You know, she wants to try to change it from within.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at this point I'm like, I get that on one level, but when do we just get to just be?
Yeah. That's my question. Like she's going hard. Like she almost lost her friendship, like her best friend, literally and figuratively almost lost her best friend.
Right.
You know, you've got her boyfriend who's lost in the sauce and doesn't know what to do. And you go to this job.
What did you think about that relationship? What'd you think about that relationship?
I think Owen was really cute and he did what he could. He was the do boy. He did whatever was needed and whatever was necessary, and he had her back. And he's like completely opposite of Richard. Like he didn't want anything from her but to be there, whereas Richard had an end game, I think, with Diana. As wide as his nose might have been for Diana, he had a reason for keeping her where he was, which was to have this portrayal of his publishing company. If I have her on my arm and I have her doing X, Y, and Z, at least I could show it's almost equivalent to, but I do have a Black friend.
Exactly. Black yeah. And I saw that difference in those two white men too, that Nella's boyfriend, that he really was trying to be as supportive as he mm-hmm. could be. And you know, this is a conversation that my girlfriends and I will have from time to time. You know, this thing about, you know, successful Black men who, mm-hmm. you know, go with, you know, they choose yes. white women. And I, you know, I have this conversation with my husband too. I see a difference in Black women being with men outside of the race because of our options. Mm-hmm. Our options are different. You know, Black men, to me, they have all the options.
Yeah.
I don't care what level of Black men they are. So,
yeah.
But Black women, you know, no matter how successful you are, you just can't say, I want to be with a Black man and that's going to happen.
I know. I hear that. I've seen people putting out there that the statistics are just, they're slim pickings, and them wanting us, right? Like
right.
that, because we, for the most part, are a bit more educated, even if they are educated, yes. there is this lack right. of confidence that right. some of them carry, which causes them to treat us bad because they lack the confidence to show up how they would prefer to show up, even if we don't say anything.
Yeah. And this is a little a sidetrack, but recently Tyler Perry was being interviewed by somebody. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yes.
I was so surprised. This is a man who came up from nothing. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying to Black men, do what I did, no, you're going to say Black women, dial it down.
Mm-hmm.
Get your bag, but don't worry about a Black man having his. You just look for the other. Is that thing of like just settle for good enough?
Right, right. And I think it actually does flow with the show because, like, even in the beginning, that was constantly what they were telling Nella to do. Like, she's trying to do her job.
Yeah.
She's trying to
yeah.
shine and do what she knows she's supposed to do. And her, you know, her boss is like, tone it down. We're not doing that.
Yeah,
I did ask for your advice, but bring it down just a little bit. Dim your shine because it's going to make someone else feel bad.
Feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Feel bad. Exactly. And I think Black women are still conditioned and told to move through the world making other people feel comfortable. You're mm-hmm. too loud.
Mm-hmm.
You're too mad. Yeah. Now I see, to me, you know, Black women in your age range and younger don't, have not drunk that Kool-Aid like my age group did.
Right.
And I love seeing it. You know, I love seeing it. You know, I love seeing that younger women, Black women, are doing what they want to do, doing it loudly, doing it, even if it's something I would never do, I still like seeing that, because this narrative of you're going to make all of us look bad. If you do this, it's going to make, I have ditched that. Do you cuss on your, because I don't want to cuss on
I
your
do.
Podcast.
It is very explicit. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I have ditched that shit. Like, I don't care what white people think about us anymore, because it matters not.
Well,
and
how?
I don't take ownership of what we get to be, all the things. That's my, you know, we get to be all the things. They're
How'd
all
you
the
get
things.
There?
We get to be all the things.
How?
I got
because
there because I'm tired. I'm tired.
Because I know coming from, you know, what you've had to come from is different than what I've had to come from.
Yeah.
And just like what you witnessed. And, you know, I always, on my podcast, when I share women having that friction with their moms and everything, I was like, well, you have
yes.
to recognize it's about safety. And so how
exactly.
they engage with you is because I need to make sure that you're safe. And so
yes.
as we go generation to generation, it's like, well, safety is still an issue, but it's not as severe as it was for them, and being able to understand where that comes from. So somewhere you decided, I get that safety
is
an issue.
Yeah, I decided. Yeah, because you know what, Natasha, it actually doesn't keep us safe. See, that's just a fallacy that we've been fed, because when you can be sitting in your apartment on your sofa and some white woman comes in and shoots you, or you can be in your yard and minding your own business and you are shot down, when you can be stopped for a traffic stop, you know, if for whatever reason, and you're dead on the other side of it, you know, it just, a slow burn for me has been these rules that Black people live by. They really have not protected us.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, they really have not protected us, because what we've done is given away our power to white people who, no matter what their social stratus is, they still get to decide how we're going to be treated. And I just, it's like, we need to decide how we're going to be treated. And we need to stop explaining.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop trying to prove anything. We need to stop trying to represent that, you know, we're all the highest and best. Some of us are, some of us are not, just like any other group of people.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That we get to be ratchet.
Mm-hmm. And classy.
And we
get,
yes, exactly.
Bougetto. You get to be bougie and ghetto.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. You know, if my sister wants to show her ass, then that's what she decided. That does not reflect upon me. And we take that on. You know, the recent thing where the young woman in Alabama said she was kidding, you know, all of that. And I heard over and over and over, this is just going to make it bad for the next Black girl that really is missing. They're not going to look for her. And
they weren't looking for her anyway.
Thank you. And I was just like, let somebody snatch them. I got two nieces. I said, and I was like, let somebody snatch one of them. They are going to look for my niece, because I'm going to demand it.
Yeah.
What Carly did has nothing to do with me or anybody, you know, unless you choose to let, you're going to let them do that? We would let them not look for somebody who was missing. That's on us.
Yeah.
You know, so because they do that, they lie about stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's okay. And it does not spill over to the next one. Mm-hmm. So why are we taking that on, that mm-hmm. anytime a Black person does something, you know, and I still, because it's so ingrained in me. Like if there's been a mass shooting or something,
oh, yeah. Like, oh,
is this a Black person? Black. Please. Yeah, person. I know. I still can't let that go. This is so ingrained in me. But at the same time, we've got to let that go. Mm-hmm. We've got to let that go, because whatever, you know, whatever a Black person does, because when a Black person does something of excellence, it's a one-off for white people. That's yes. them. They're special. They're magical. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they're a unicorn. They're unique. But when somebody does something bad that's Black, that takes all of us.
Yeah.
And so for Nella, you know, I get it. You know, I can see both sides of that somebody's got to fight the fight. And she wants to fight that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of that, but what is that costing us? We have the highest level of autoimmune conditions,
mm-hmm.
high blood pressure, diabetes. You know, we are, you know, maternal mortality.
Mm-hmm.
It is stressful to be Black in America.
Mm-hmm.
And it is deadly. Just moving through on a day-to-day basis, there's a Black tax that we carry, and our bodies,
mm-hmm.
our bodies are paying that cost.
Yeah. So how do you feel about her making this grand decision to infiltrate and be the one that wants to take down this book? Her and her Scooby crew have made it their task to do this after, you know, basically everything you're saying about how stressful it is. And like, again, all the things that Nella has gone through up until this moment, and still make it, your friend got ran over. Like, just, you were kidnapped.
Yeah.
Like, all of this. And you're still like, it's still a go.
I know. Because I'm wondering, what is the win going to look like?
Once the book is no longer out there, first of all, I have no clue what this book is about.
Right.
And so that's an interesting part of what is this book that Diana is trying to get out in the world, especially when your mission is to wash away the Blackness of, or having them conform.
Right.
But this book is going to do this grand gesture. What is that?
What is it? And if she destroys it from being, you know, keeps it from being published, then what? And so what's going to really change?
Yeah.
I'm just all about Wakanda now. That's the fight. Can we just not create Wakanda for us?
I know. That would be great, because, you know, I always sit and wonder when I see things happening, and even like watching this series, I always get uncomfortable within my body, because I'm like, but what am I supposed to do about that? Like, you know, seeing stuff on social media and the news and like all that's going on, and I just sit here like, but what am I, like, what is genuinely going to happen? Like, what is going to change? What can I actually do about what is going on, especially knowing how quick Black people are to switch up? We can't boycott nothing for longer than a week. We tried Chick-fil-A, did not happen. Like, we can't be a cohesive front. So at the end of the day, it's like, there's a lot that we could do, but I recognize that I can't do it by myself. It would need to be a collective front, and we're not there yet. The damage to tear us apart has carried long.
It really has. And you know, I think, Natasha, that first we have to decide, okay, what is the end game? So, mm-hmm. you know, that saying, living well is the best revenge.
Mm-hmm.
I am really, you know, the more I think about that, the more true it becomes for me, because our being focused on deciding what living well really looks like for Black people. Mm-hmm. And pursuing that from a place of, because we churn a lot of dollars now, like billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. We churn a lot. There are a lot of successful Black people, a lot of Black people doing well. That, like you said, if we could all, we're so scattered now, we're so split. You know, if we really could come together under the commonality and goal of, we are going to be totally focused on lifting each other up in all the ways that that looks like, from an education perspective, from a housing perspective, a healthcare perspective, that, you know, all of our dollars and resources are going to go into, you know, rebuilding our communities in a tangible way, like for real, that, because you see, you know, one-offs that you know, people, you know, Tyler Perry might go in and pay off some old people's, you know, mortgages, that kind, you know, or the that kind of thing. I mean, if we all could unify around those kinds of things, you know, I was born in 1959, so integration, I really have come to believe that integration was not our friend. That was the wrong focus for us. That focusing on keeping our communities and you know, rebuilding our communities, they still, because we had, you know, Black Wall Street was a thing. They burned it down. But you know, we, you know, that to me, we should have stayed on that path, though. That was the fight, to just keep maintaining that, so that our dollars would churn within our communities and not be so, you know, so spread out and so, you know, and that our businesses would still continue to flourish and still be a resource that we were taught about finance and stocks and bonds and all, you know, this, all these things that really do fuel generational wealth. You know, we lost a lot of our land was stolen, and really land was stolen from the indigenous people, and so there's that. You know, so yeah, I just think that the other Black girl has so many layers to it, from what are we really fighting for?
Right.
You know, yeah. What are we really trying to get to? What are we, you know, is the goal just to diversify Wagner Books? Okay. And then what?
Yeah. And you saying all that, kind of like being able to kind of wrap this up and tie it in a bow, makes me wonder, had it been more beneficial for her and Kendra to go create their own?
Right. Exactly.
That, like, that's what I'm hearing from you saying.
Yes, they are brilliant women. Go create your own publishing company. Yes. Yes. You know, if she, what would have happened if she had taken Jason's offer?
Right, to come? Right. And gone over there.
Yeah, how because much... they greased him up.
cut him up and everything. That is something to definitely think about now that you explain it from that concept. I would not have thought about it that way, of like, the alternative would be you going and y'all creating your own thing, possibly with him, and being able to go further with the agenda that you have and just let them do what they're going to do. Cause like you saw, they ended up getting in trouble anyway. That won't be the last time they get in trouble for doing some crazy stuff.
Right.
Okay. I like this. Thank you. This is a different perspective. And I mean, it's also helpful, you know, for me, I think sometimes being a business owner that is not about being a business coach or like racking in money, my focus is pleasure for Black women in and out of the bedroom. And so sometimes I feel like I get lost and I'm always wondering, okay, well, can I really, like, is there really place for me trying to infiltrate areas that I probably shouldn't be infiltrating?
You know what? What you do is so needed, because pleasure for Black, I mean, it's not an inherent thing for us. Like, right. It's a thing where, you know, we have to be very intentional. First, mm-hmm. we have to believe that it's our right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that we don't have to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And that we should experience it every day.
In everything that we do.
In everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And yes, being able to connect to it from a place of body and sensuality and sexuality, which is another thing mm-hmm. that we've been all jacked up about.
Yes.
Because our sexuality is also politicized.
Yes, you know? Our bodies never belong yeah. to us. So how right. do we maneuver when right. I say my body is mine?
Yes. Yeah. And that, you know, this yeah, oh my gosh, it's yeah. There's just so
I know, you know, I am more and more recognizing and hearing that this is bigger than me. And sometimes when you get that, it's very overwhelming. And especially when there is no, you're not going to give me no more. You're just going to give me, this is bigger than you. Right. Where's the steps? Where are right. the steps? But
yes.
as I continue to have conversations with other Black women and just kind of getting that validation and that confirmation that like, no, this is needed, even if we as a collective don't recognize it, like it is needed. And I firmly believe that when Black women acknowledge their pleasure, we will take over the world.
I'm with you. Listen, I am so with you. You know, and we're both in the South, so you know
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that religion thing is a
yes.
thing.
Yes.
You know, I'm a woman of faith. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. It's a direct line for me, though.
Mm-hmm.
The church has messed us up in so many ways that, you know, and I don't have to tell you this, but, you know, even that connecting to ourselves as sexual beings, it's mm-hmm. so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
by what we've been told
mm-hmm.
that we should not pay attention to or be focused on or enjoy or, you mm-hmm. know, without it being in the service of, again, something or somebody else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just can't be for our own pleasure.
Yes. Yes. I get know. Those are the clients that I get trying to separate yeah, themselves yeah, yeah, from the know. Church girl thought.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You know, yes, and you know, I don't want my daughter ending up on the pole and all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And you know, that if we really connect to the power that is in our bodies,
right,
that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
That we have Absolutely. To squash that part of us down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. So I am embracing it so very much, and I appreciate you for this conversation. This was a good conversation, and I think it will open up the eyes of people that watched it to watch it again and maybe look at things different or just have a different perspective on what they can go out here and do if they are in the same situation. So I appreciate
I
you
know, yeah
thank oh, you
I appreciate the conversation, and yes, and I hope it comes back for a second season. So
me too. Oh my gosh, if they do not, I will be so, I don't know who I got to email.
I will be mad. Yeah, I'll be mad if it doesn't come back, because they left us hanging.
They did. So,
yeah, they left.
So oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. And I hope today's conversation has inspired you to embrace pleasure in all aspects of your life. Remember, your voice matters in this journey. Share your thoughts and experiences by leaving a review, and stay connected with our community by joining our email list. The link is in the show notes. Together, we're redefining what it means to savor life and celebrate the joy in just being you. Until next time, keep prioritizing your pleasure because you are deserving. Take care and stay tuned for more empowering discussions. Bye.